We're at a time in this session when our caucuses, we've instructed our budget subs to get to work, and also the standing committees to get their priorities out on the calendar soon, and get their budget subs meeting, and the various subcommittees working on governor's appointments. So I don't want to say it's on a fast track, but we want the business that we're sent here to do to act as quickly as possible. I haven't heard of no problems with any appointments,
I'm not going to say a whole lot because I'm losing my voice. My popularity is increasing by the hour. As Senator Kibbe said, we're in the kind of working phase of the legislature right now. All this nuts and bolts work that's going on as we speak, all of our appropriate subcommittees are going through their respective budgets, and the bills are starting to move to the calendar. Among some bills that might see floor action next week, we have some bills that relate to precursor for certain controlled substances. Those are some things we're going to caucus on. Also, a bill that generated quite a bit of news a few years ago. It's a different version of the bill, but the basic essence is adding clergy to the list of mandatory reporters for child sex abuse, so that if a clergy becomes aware that another colleague of theirs in the clergy had committed a form of sex abuse, they would be required to report that to the law enforcement authorities, like teachers do, like nurses do, like doctors do, under the law. There is an exemption in the bill for confessionals. But that's a bill that we look forward to having a debate on next week. We expect to potentially be controversial. That's all I have to say at this time.
What's your definition of clergy or non-clergy?
I don't have the definitions in front of me, and to be frank with you, Representative Murphy and I were actually two of the four co-sponsors when we did the bill 4 or 5 years ago. I haven't looked at the definitions, so I wouldn't want to give you incorrect information. The last stats I saw, and I don't quote me on this number because it probably changed quite a bit, but it was 450-some confirmed cases of clergy abuse in the Midwest alone. And so it's an issue that's been out there enough that I think it makes sense for the protection of children. If I recall the debate a few years ago, there was some concern that clergy should maybe not be placed within the law, that some of the arguments, sanctuary, for example, those are some of the arguments that were made by some of the people that opposed it.
This makes it mandatory for reporters. However, anything can be considered a confessional. It's not just for the Catholic Church.
Oh, correct.
But it's under any
I think it's called the penitent privilege, yes. I think is what they refer to it as. Well, the hope is that people will follow the law, and that would be the hope. Thank you. I believe there are. I don't know what level for failure to report. If you're a mandatory reporter and you fail to report, I do believe it's a criminal penalty. I just don't have that one level, the level with me. I'll have to review the bill.
I'm going to cover one thing in regards to committees that are meeting next week. Next week we have, on oversight, we'll be having the banking superintendent updating us on people that received TARP funds. We are inviting three banks, Midwest One, Heartland Financial, and West Bank. Our goal behind inviting them is they received millions of dollars in money that was handed out that Congress passed last fall. We just want to make sure that we're keeping the focus here on middle-class families. The goal behind these was to take troubled assets and to make sure that people stayed in their homes. And we just want to make sure that the focus is on middle-class families and making sure that people, whether they were whatever kind of financial troubles they were having, what good came out of this. So we're going to have them in before oversight. And it's my understanding from the email I have from Doug Wolf that the three of them will be invited in. We'll have the superintendent give us an update first, and then we'll invite those three banks to answer questions from the legislative panel on oversight. And that's scheduled for next Thursday.
Is there anything you can do about how they're handing out credit? I mean, are your hands more tight? I know that the Rebuild Iowa office has said that it's been a problem for some homeowners that are looking at
I think it's limited, but the one thing we can do is it's amazing how much public pressure can be created if there's some sunlight, as Representative McCarthy brought up. I think there was a lot of sunlight brought up last week when we had the Super Bowl and you had several different groups. All of a sudden it brought to light all these groups that got, whether you call it bailout money or TARP funds, whatever. That they had all these expenditures. We want to make sure that the money they received, that they're willing to discuss it with us, and if they aren't, I think it's a good reason for people to even inquire more if they don't. You know, quite frankly, if they're doing what they need to do with these funds, then I think that's great. Because then if we're helping keeping families in their homes and getting them through some troubled times, I think that's what we just want to find out. You know, quite frankly, there's oversight at the federal level, but we need to do oversight at the state level too.
You may have millions of dollars, but do you know how much they
receive? I know that a couple of them received between, the understanding on two of them is between $80 and $87 million for two of them. I don't know about the third.
Two of them combined?
No. It's my understanding Heartland received $81 million, and this is just what I've heard. I'm not basing this on facts, so don't quote me as a disciple on this because I don't know. And it's my understanding that West Bank received approximately 87.
So why would they appear before you? I mean, it's federal money.
Well, if they don't, we will sit down and discuss it later. But we've invited them. We want them to come. And quite frankly, if they have nothing to hide, there's. I guess it's a boring story for you guys. But I think people, listen, this is taxpayers' money. We want to make sure that people are accountable, whether it's local money, state money, or federal money. When you take a look at the CTEC investigations that occurred here a few years ago, people wanted to know, and it involved local money, state money, and federal money. Even though this is mostly federal dollars, in fact, it's all federal dollars, I think we just have an obligation to make sure that within the borders of Iowa, that money was being spent in the ways that people expected it to. And it's not to say that we will find anything out next week, but I think it's a good chance for us to ask those questions and, quite frankly, bring some sunlight to it and see if, you know, part of our responsibility is making sure the taxpayer money is spent well and that we're doing our job to help middle-class families. And so that's what we're going to be doing here next week.
While it may be federal money, I believe they're all state chartered banks. I want to highlight a bill we're going to pass next week. It's a bill that waives employer charges for unemployment claims stemming from temporary workers who've replaced active duty military workers. As you know, last year we passed legislation to protect people in the Guard and Reserve that are off defending our country and in any place in the world. We passed that legislation protecting them. That creates kind of a disincentive for an employer to be willing to hire any of those folks, because if they have to use a temporary worker and then that temporary worker later gets laid off for the active duty military employee to come back, the employer ends up getting hit by higher unemployment charges because they've laid somebody off. So what this piece of legislation would do would be to say they will not be charged for that. I think that's another one of our steps in protecting active duty military personnel in the state. I'd also say we continue to look at the economic trends and the information we're getting continues to suggest to us that we're on the right track in terms of pressing our budget subcommittees to look for additional cuts in the budget. We're going to continue down that track. And as you know, we're very concerned about next year's budget and want to make sure we have a budget that's balanced. So that's what we're doing. We'll be happy to take your questions if you haven't asked them all already. It's an overall cost. Listen, the costs to this overall are tiny. in an $800 million trust fund unemployment compensation system. So the costs overall spread out amongst everybody are tiny, but if the costs are imposed on a small employer that lays people off, they can be significant for that small employer. So the cost of this will effectively be spread over all employers through the unemployment trust fund. I think there are certainly some group of people that would like to see dove hunting in the state, and some people that would not. So I can't tell you whether, but we haven't done a vote count or had a discussion about it in caucus. As you know, a couple of years ago, the legislature passed legislation. So I'd say it's possible, but I wouldn't say it's high on anybody's agenda at this point.
Your member is one of them that introduced it. Have you given them any indication whether that should come out of subcommittee or committee? Or?
I don't have to give my members indication. The subcommittee members and committee members move forward legislation that they think is good for the state. So that's correct. I decide, I make a judgment as to whether, not as just whether it comes up and we're going to have a debate about it. I try and focus on things we can actually accomplish. And so if the votes are there to support something like that, I'm certainly open to considering that possibility.
Governor talked yesterday about money, about the $25 million for the power fund. Is the money there this year for that?
The money was appropriated for 4 years when we passed the power fund originally. So the money's already there.
Yep.
I think the legislature thought it was a good idea a couple years ago to move forward on this. We want to stay on the cutting edge of things that will create high-wage, high-skilled jobs in this state and build wealth in this state. The Power Fund has been a catalyst for a number of developments across the state. One of them is Senator Kibbe's district on cellulosic ethanol production. So I think there's a real reluctance in the legislature to cutting those funds that will help create the next generation of jobs in this state.
There's a bill for DNA sampling for those convicted of aggravated misdemeanors. It would cost about $600,000 extra to have the state criminalized process. People convicted of aggravated misdemeanors. I know you didn't know that they're not going to approve it anymore. It's a bill that the vice president has made out for it, but this is a tough on the crime bill, and there are some senators who are working with the other community.
We'll have to see what comes out of committee. Iowa's long-term economic future is going to be very much tied to, a big chunk of it is going to be very much tied to renewable energy. We think we're basically the epicenter of the world in terms of renewable energy. So you look at things like wind energy and ethanol and soy diesel and who knows what the, and cellulosic ethanol production and maybe butanol production. You look at all of those kinds of things, Iowa's at the center of the universe in those issues. We think it's important to stay at the center of the universe on those. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense, especially in tough economic times, for us to say we're going to abandon the very thing that may be the prosperity for the next generation of Iowans.
Is there any thought in the House to a champion of your environmental protection committee to match the Senate's action? What's the rest of the committee's name, Sam? If you're still environmental protection, their environment and energy. A few years ago, you harmonized economic growth and did the same with the environment.
We have an energy subcommittee that Nathan Reichert's running, and that pretty much handles our energy issues, but we run some of that stuff through commerce, and Nathan's on environmental protection. I've really not thought about it, but we might follow the Senate's lead for a change.
It could happen.
Pat, can you talk about that one in your caucus?
I'll tell you right now, our focus this session is balancing the budget, dealing with flood recovery, and dealing with what we can do to help middle-class families and making our economy grow. That's not on our radar screen. If we get it done, that's fine, but it's not on my radar screen.
Can you talk about labor and whether you're making progress with consensus on labor?
I can't guarantee you as to what we'll do this year or what we won't do. You'll see that once. I think the best indication will be what bills move out of the Labor Committee. That'll give you an indication. But until those things are announced, I don't really have a lot to say on labor issues at this point.
Have you got a signal from the governor? You said you were waiting. You were talking with the governor, and you wanted some direction from him before he does.
Well, that's the other part. I need a signal from my caucus and a signal from the governor, but we're communicating. We're talking about those issues. And if we can reach an agreement and we think we can pass those bills, we'll be moving them out.
Where does things stand on the $700 million bond plan? Has everybody at least signed off on that? Is that something that is going to happen this session?
Well, so I think you'll see two bonding bills. There'll be a $160 million bonding bill to deal with the things that are currently, that were approved by the last legislative session to deal with those issues. And then I think you'll see a separate debate about the other portions that deal with other infrastructure issues. So I think you'll probably see two separate bills at this point. As to the dollar amounts, I think it'll be roughly $700 million, but there's some other discussions that have to occur before we get to that point. We do have we do have groups that are working with the governor's office, Dennis Cahoon on our side, who chairs Transportation Infrastructure Capitals, Joelson, who chairs the Appropriations Committee, and the third person's Brian Quirk, who chairs Transportation. I don't know who you guys have, but.
So you will leave this session with a bonding?
I think there's broad support in both of our caucuses to move forward on a set of bonding proposals that together are in the neighborhood of $700 million. Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in that. I think we said from the start, we would deal with the cash bill, the $56 million that the governor signed on Monday. We dealt with the local option tax issue, so communities in Lynn and Johnson County can help themselves some. And I think we said from the start we're very interested in doing disaster recovery better than any state in the union. That's going to require an effort by us to put together a bonding proposal. And we look forward to doing that. That will probably take a while. You know, that's not going to get done as quickly as some of these other things, and that's.
Are you moving forward both with bonding and the gas tax? It's not an either or.
Opinions vary as to what should happen on those fronts. That's why it's going to take a while. We're a legislative body. It takes a while for 50 senators and 100 House members to reach consensus on issues, and that's the process we're in right now, committee meetings, subcommittee meetings, that kind of activity. So, but I fully expect to move forward with an infrastructure package and a recovery package. What all is in that still remains to be seen.
Governor Culver yesterday announced that Terry Rich was his choice to be the CEO of the lottery. That confirmation on hold until you guys decided you were getting rid of the lottery?
No, I would intend to approve that lottery director as soon as that appointment becomes available to us.
What's the point if you're going to turn it over to private
entities? What's the point of not having somebody in charge of that office? And at this point, I'd say, I've not seen much likelihood, much interest inside our caucus in proceeding with the sale of the lottery. So I've always thought that was very much a long shot. I think it continues to very much be a long shot, and we need to proceed with an administrative officer at the lottery, and we will in fact do that.
I guess we're at the end of week four, and what's happening is happening. You guys can draw your own conclusions on that. Here's what House Republicans are focused on. It appears from the math that I'm looking at and the different articles that you guys are writing, we've got easily over 80,000 Iowans are out of work right now, and that needs to be the focus of the House, the Senate, the legislature, the state government. I mean, we need to find ways to make sure we're encouraging employers to reinvest in our state, reinvest in our workforce. And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, as far as Republicans are concerned, that if a bill, as it's moving through, can't answer that question, then we probably need to set it aside. It's kind of frustrating for us right now that at least the buzz, and you know how this place works, the buzz is often more important than what's expressly stated. The buzz seems to be about Senate starting employee choice of doctor, House is starting prevailing wage, you've got a fair share or repealing Iowa's right to work law conversation going on. I mean, none of these proposals do anything to grow our economy. None of these proposals do anything to encourage employers to reinvest in our workforce. So we just think those are the wrong directions. And I think next week, assuming we get it put together, you should expect that Republicans are going to have something with a little more detail to roll out on where we need to go. A couple other quick things. First of all, the transparency bill is in state government. And I know Representative Strike has talked to Representative Masher, and that will continue to be a priority of House Republicans, so you should expect that. And one of the other things you should see happening is as the budget subs are meeting, when and if you attend those, we're committed to doing a line-by-line review. Democrat leaders indicated that they were willing to support that, and so we're going to take them up on it. We're going to do that. One of the things that House Republicans have requested is, and it's called a Schedule C. I'm not an accountant, but apparently this Schedule C is the next level down of the breakdown. This is the schedule that will show us how much are we spending on pens, pencils, the individual things. So, I mean, we're serious about this. Briefly, on the webpage and suggestions we're getting from Iowans, I assume you guys have looked at that a little bit. I brought a couple here to show you. And I'm not necessarily endorsing these today, but we're getting really good ideas. I think we've got close to 300 suggestions now, which I really think is quite remarkable for the length of time it's been up and the amount of promotion it's got. But apparently we did some reduction of DHS offices, but we're still holding the offices out there. There might be some state infrastructure that we could look at, maybe stopping some of those leases or a consolidation of different offices. And this suggestion anyway was directly dealing with DHS. Examine how much state agencies are spending on non-essential expenses like reimbursement for meals and dry cleaning. Transparency on the contracts for state hired consultants. I think that's actually a pretty good suggestion. If there's a little bit of light illuminated on some of those things, I think we end up better. And we're also getting very precise anecdotal information, which we'll have to follow up on. I mean, this isn't one that we have an answer to yet, but I worked at Walmart for 18 months. State workers from the local human services offices were coming in every Friday to purchase supplies for an office party on the state's dime and using the tax-exempt status also. I mean, we need to run that one down. If that's what's going on and that's how we're using state dollars, I don't think that's what the taxpayers of Iowa think they're getting when they write their tax bill. It's also become abundantly clear, at least from the responses we're getting, Iowans aren't interested in bike trails right now. And again, that makes perfect sense. They're worried about whether or not they have a job next week, and that's what we need to be focused on. So anyway, that's all I had to start out with.
pardon me. I don't have a great deal to offer. Above that, I think we'll respond to your questions, but I would say that we continue to see reports coming from the Democratic governor and the Democratic legislature, signs that they are still addicted to spending. And we saw that Senator Gronstall and Speaker Murphy today again called for selling the lottery so they could spend more. And we see the governor calling for a $700 million bonding. What was reported in the Des Moines Register this morning that Gronstall, I'm merely responding to what was in the register, that it is still on the table. If they have seen the error in their ways, thank goodness. But I would tell you that the borrowing and spending $700 million, again, is continuing the spending problem that we have. So we need to concentrate on jobs. Job creation is what will lift this economy and sustain us. And I think that's where our emphasis must be. You know, we hear a lot about bailout packages, and we hear a lot about stimulus packages. Washington, D.C. has a bailout fever, and I'm concerned that Governor Culver has caught the sniffles. We are looking at doing what they are talking about doing in Washington, D.C., of taking taxpayers' money and throwing it at various things. There is a difference between creating work and creating jobs. Many of these so-called bailouts involve creating work, and when the work is over, the job is gone. We're more interested in creating jobs that are sustainable and long-lasting and will be of permanent benefit to the state's economy as well as employ the young people in the state. That would be the direction I would tend to go.
The other thing I would add on that is that, you know, we're yet to actually see the proposal. And I met with the governor's office again this week, and we haven't seen it. But based on what I understand to be in it, and look, House Republicans are not going to go out and borrow money to build bike trails. I don't know what the transmission piece of it is. And these are the exact same things I told him the other day. History or examples from other states tell us that it's not the best way to look at roads and bridges, things like that. So we're going to need a whole lot more information, and I would say based on what we have right now, this is not a good plan for Iowa. No. You got to look at the outcome, and specifically one of the issues with roads is you go and borrow money for 20 years. It's very possible the asset or what you built will not outlive the life expectancy of the bonds. You know, and I've made this comment to you guys before. Republicans have supported bonding proposals in the past. I'm sure we will in the future. But this one we're not on board with right now. It's going to have to make sure each component outlives the life of the bond. I think there needs to be some opportunity for leverage, to leverage dollars. It shouldn't just be the state going in. But we need to work through those things, and we can't even start until we actually see the proposal in detail.
If the bonding proposal is approved, what sort of mechanism should there be to allocate money? I mean, should you ban earmarks on the floor? Should there be something created in order to use the existing transportation commission?
Earmarks are never, I shouldn't say never, they are not a good idea, though. Generally, they reflect more to do with power than actually the quality of the proposal. Not always, but more times than not, they're about power and what person's sitting in which chairmanship and so on and so forth. So as far as whether or not you create a separate board, it doesn't make sense to me right now. We already have in excess of 200 boards in the state of Iowa. I find it really hard to believe we don't already have somewhere in the state government something that we could plug into, to review these programs.
Do you have an idea of what you would use, or is that just something somebody looked at?
I don't have a specific board right now. I mean, obviously, I've already said I'm disinclined on roads, but I mean, we've already got the DOT commission. Why would we have someone else making road decisions? That makes no sense to me at all.
You mentioned a local match. So you envision a program that would more resemble the Vision Iowa, whereby if you're building something in a city, the city would have to put up money too?
That would make sense to me, that you would develop partnerships. And again, I don't know some of this stuff, what he's talking about. If he's talking about investing into something that ends up having a private use, then there ought to be private dollars in there. And quite frankly, it ought to be the substantial part of it. But there ought to be a way to leverage these dollars. We haven't talked about that, and I haven't looked at the bill, so I don't know yet.
But that came up 2-3 years ago.
I know it did, and I'm trying to think back through the debate, and it's not coming to me. So I got to go back and look at the bill and talk to the members.
What's your understanding about making the decisions for 09 in terms of the supplemental, the additional DOT appropriations, determining the judicial budget?
When I've asked about that, I don't know if your discussions have been any different, but when I have asked about that, they've indicated to me they want it sooner rather than later, and we should be expecting a bill in front of us any moment. But that's the same answer I've been getting since the middle of last week, too.
So the governor's appointees, do you see any problems with conservation?
We're just beginning to talk about the governor's appointees, and I think it was evident today that they intend to start moving some of those on the en bloc calendar. We've had from interest groups concern about several, I can't name any specific, but just concerns about a handful of appointees, and we will do our due diligence and vet those closely to make sure the citizens of Iowa are being served the way they need to be served.
Notably, the new lottery director, have you talked internally about
that? No, we haven't.
The Democrats said they're going to invite three banks to appear before the Government Oversight Committee to talk about how they're spending the federal stimulus fund. Do you have any comments on that?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
Democrats can invite Wells Fargo, West Bank, I think Heartland, who all receive substantial TARP funds for those banks who plan on spending those federal monies in the state. Are you guys have any comments on that idea to have in front of government oversight? Anything you want to say on that?
Well, I hope they're fruitful in their search. I'm not sure exactly what the purpose of that would be if they're federal funds, but, you know, I think the
so they want to make sure that they're being spent properly.
Well, good for them. We all want money to be spent wisely, and I certainly hope it will be. I think the feds have enough issues about spending money, and if we can provide effective oversight.
Getting input from the private sector on this or any other of these matters, I think, is a grand idea.